And thank you, Dolph, for a very focused but a very rich talk, like as was the previous one given by Tom. The third speaker is Mark Friars. We've had an address already from Dr. Manara from the Micronutrient Initiative. I assume Mark is going to expand or focus on some aspect of Micronutrient Initiative's important work. Mark himself has over 30 years of international development experience in Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe, and the Americas. He's currently the Vice President of Programs and Technical Services at MI. He leads MI's program policy oversight and provides techno support through regional directors to MI's country programs. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much indeed, Tim. And I'd just like to say thank you to Dolph for throwing in the words "and nutrition," because really that's my first point. And also kudos to Felista from Kari in Kenya for actually having food security and nutrition in her presentation, because the first thing I wanted to urge is let's keep using the words "and nutrition." Let's change the language. And just like I think the indices that drive interest and commitment, you know, that can actually help change the way people look at the issue, that we're talking about not just sufficient food, but also quality of food and adequacy in every sense of the word. So that's really my very first point. I do want to just give you a quick snapshot, for those who are not familiar with it, of the Micronutrient Initiative, set up a little over 20 years ago. This is our purpose, mission, focus, and so on. But really what I want to say here is that this has really been possible through the number two player, number two donor, if you like, in the world, Canada, staying the course, that endurance measure that Dolph was referring to, enabling these results to be achieved. So this is a typical year. We're typically reaching over 400 million people a year with programs. And our programs are particularly focused on meeting what you might call more of the immediate needs than the underlying needs. In today's jargon, they're called nutrition-specific interventions, and I'll mention a little bit more about that in a moment. These are ones that Venkatesh Manara, our president, had mentioned earlier, supplementation and fortification out of the array of possible things that can be done to address undernutrition in general. So why this big focus on nutrition? I want to refer here a little bit more to this global movement that has been mentioned already a couple of times this morning, the Scaling Up Nutrition movement. This is a very exciting movement because it is tackling head on this very big burden that the world faces. Somebody was mentioning earlier about smallholder farmers occupying perhaps a third of the world's population. Well, a similar number, one in three people in the world, one in four, one in three, are deficient in one or more vitamins and minerals or micronutrients. So that's a lot of people. That's a very, very big agenda. So we have to actually engage with a huge number of people through all of the agencies and governments and private sector actors who are able to reach large numbers of people in order to do something about that. So just for the economists in the audience, just a word on why nutrition. Really, this is about GDP. We've done work and we've shown the through modeled impacts of deficiencies. The GDP that which a country loses annually is often in the range of 1 to 2 or even 3%. So the rate of return on a dollar in nutrition is very, very significant. And it's particularly seen later in life. This is an important point because for a politician, you don't always see it immediately. You might spend a dollar today on nutrition, but you may see the result after some years or even decades in some cases. Nutrition isn't one of those things that suddenly, you know, people brighten up. Although that does happen with very young children, particularly if they're breastfed properly and fed good complementary foods. But there is a bit of a something we have to be conscious of here, that the political return on nutrition is not always immediate and as evident as perhaps in some other things. So politicians need a lot of encouragement to really prioritize it. I want to introduce you to this. You might think this is a complicated picture, but the original picture in the Lancet series, when you project it, is even more complicated. This is a reduced version of a very important framework that was published in a series in the Lancet Journal in June 2013. What I wanted to highlight here was on the right-hand side is not only the nutrition-specific actions, which the Micronutrient Initiative, for example, works on, but also the nutrition-sensitive actions within agriculture, food security, social safety nets, child development, and so on, that can really make a difference to benefits throughout the life years for nutrition. So a little bit on what have we learned from that very series. There was a special feature in the series on nutrition-sensitive programs. Agriculture social protection, particularly good at mitigating the effects of shocks, preventing excess undernutrition. We've heard of some Ethiopia examples this morning, which I think are very valuable and very thrilling to really to see the progress being made there. These kind of programs can really also enhance the scale and effectiveness of nutrient-specific actions by having platforms. But that's just one of the things they need. They need clear goals at the outset, particularly, as we've heard many times this morning, a focus on empowering women, because that's something that really, really helps and works very well. I think we need to improve the targeting, and there was a presentation, I think IFAD was speaking of the importance of targeting. And also the conditions to stimulate demand. Let us not underestimate the importance of behavior change, and it's really important to have that that sort of promotional aspect and demand creation aspect within the programs. My colleague Eric Boy will be perhaps speaking later on work of Harvest Plus, but I wanted to show up this little example. Venkatesh mentioned it earlier. I had intended to bring a sweet potato to hold it up, but I forgot it. It was early in the morning when I left, so. But the Micronutrient Initiative and others were involved in early efficacy studies on orange flesh sweet potato, which contains more vitamin A than the regular white flesh type. The incorporation of these kind of crops into agricultural programs, into food programs, into social safety net programs can really, really help do a lot over time. And I think there's very exciting work going on there. And the Lancet series also found some modest evidence of impact from home gardening and homestead production systems on particularly vitamin A intake and the status of children. And these are encouraging results. I want to share just one slightly detailed picture with you. Let's just start on the left-hand side. This is a UNICEF picture which helps us to understand what we might do in the more immediate frame with regard to addressing gaps in micronutrients or nutrients generally for children in particular. And what this is showing you is a sort of little quick decision tree for what do you do if, and in this case it's what do you do if you don't have appropriate foods or you do have appropriate foods available but you don't have the micronutrients in them. There are ways of which you can address that through a little sachet which was actually pioneered in Canada called Sprinkles by the University of Toronto, multiple micronutrient supplements. On the right-hand side, this is a situation which is probably one-third of the world inadequate household food security, where you don't have the appropriate foods necessarily available. You've got a pretty limited diet. You've got perhaps no diet or inadequate diet available. Then you're looking at adding other nutrients in addition to the micronutrients, and so not just micronutrients, but other things as well. And I wanted to mention, since we have a strong Ethiopian contingent here, that we're also working in Ethiopia with the Ethiopian Health and Nutrition Research Institute, with funding from the Government of Canada, from DFAT-D, the D part of DFAT-D. And this, rather like Carol Henry's program that she was speaking of earlier, and we'll be actually actively cooperating, I think, is looking at ways in which we can improve recipes from what is available locally, actually using a bartering system, regular grains are traded by women for the same quantities of better, more rich complementary foods, and trying to find ways to make that as low cost as possible is one of the things we're doing. And as I mentioned earlier in that flowchart, we're also then looking at using certain types of micronutrient intervention, certain types of micronutrient product or other products to fill identified nutrient gaps. At the end of this, we will be field testing and all the recommendations that are made for recipes, but also evaluating the impact on child growth. So that will be a little bit of time down the track. So I wanted to sum up just a few key points. The Sun, the scaling up nutrition movement, has particularly placed nutrition higher on investors' agendas globally. I'm delighted to see that index coming out. We spoke with Lawrence about it last year, and it's great to see that come out, and I think it really focuses people's minds on the importance of investing in nutrition, and the whole pecking order thing too is very good. I think there's a real opportunity for other sectors and programs to seize the moment and seize the day to improve the returns on their investments by including effective nutrition-sensitive actions. You know, I think you can, and this is really a sort of money thing as well, you can attract more investment by adding nutrition. So if you're working in agriculture, don't just think agriculture, think nutrition as well as agriculture. How can we achieve impact on the nutrition outcomes as well as perhaps productivity and yield outcomes and so on? The third thing, this is more of a call, and since we're in an academic institution, I'd really like to make this call to researchers. We need more evidence on how to plan and implement actions that are effective at improving nutrition and other outcomes in this nutrition-sensitive zone. We have a lot of evidence about what works in the nutrition-specific actions, about vitamin A supplements, about salt iodization, about multiple micronutrient supplements, and so on. We do not have a lot of evidence at this time about nutrition-sensitive actions, and we do need more of it. So researchers, please start writing those proposals. And then finally, as I said, please think global food and nutrition security as a sort of final key message. But before I close, I just wanted to share with you this map, which comes from the Scaling Up Nutrition website, which I would refer to you to. 42 countries are already involved in scaling up nutrition. We've heard from Ethiopia and Kenya, both of them key champions. And I would say about Ethiopia in particular, great kudos, great credit due, I think, because you started to do this before the Sun Movement, well before the Sun Movement. I attended an event in 2008, which was the launch of the National Nutrition Strategy, and I think there were 8 ministries sitting at the table launching that strategy. So that was great political commitment and will, where the politicians were already willed to act by themselves, and I think tremendous leadership there by Ethiopia. And in celebration of that fact, I do want to announce again for researchers and others that next June, this June 2014, I think the dates are the 3rd to the 6th, please mark in your diaries, there will be a micronutrient forum conference in Addis Ababa in that month. So the deadline for abstracts is the 6th of December. Please go to micronutrientforum, all one word, .org, look at the website, look at the guidelines, and please think about abstracts that involve micronutrients. We've heard many interesting stories today. Let's have them at this forum. There's a great event coming up, so please do look at that. The Lancet series I mentioned, these are just final links for you. So thank you very much for your attention, and remember, and nutrition. Where's that sign? And nutrition.